how many of you know that at some point you have to leave away from instruction and you have to move into application? Amen. And I think we've been moving in some application and demonstration, but it's really continuing on the principles. Excuse me. The principles that God has given us during the midst of this series. So I want to talk just for a few minutes. Literally, I mean just for a few minutes, because I'm tired. Amen. So I want to talk from the subject, entertaining the presence of God. Yes. Entertaining the presence of God. And I don't mean like, you know, ta-da, ta-da. You know, I don't mean entertaining the presence of God. I don't mean that. I mean, what do you do to attract and keep the manifested presence of God in your midst, right? A couple people, you weren't the only one. A couple of people, maybe it was last week, 2 weeks ago, when we had the 9 a.m. service and no one was able to preach. Y'all remember that? Because the presence of God was so strong, and we just worshiped for actually 2 hours. You know, the service thing is supposed to be 2 hours. But we worshiped for like 2 hours, and then there was silence, and then it was prophetic, and it was just like crazy. It was totally different, a different type of manifestation. I had at least two people, maybe more, say to me that they heard the Spirit of God say, "I don't want to leave." Okay, now we're talking about the manifested presence of God, right? You got to understand that God likes us to be aware of Him. Right? So we know the Spirit of God is in us, right? We know that the Spirit of God is everywhere, right? Okay? In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. Another passage, Paul says, by Him all things consist, right? Everything is held together, amen? So we know this, we understand this. But there's a difference between a intellectual knowledge of God and actually tangibly experiencing God. Amen. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. There's a difference between that intellectual knowledge of God and tangibly experiencing God. When God manifests Himself, His presence, we talked about His presence being what? Come on, y'all with me. Y'all been looking at your notes? Okay. His presence is His face. Okay. So he wants to reveal Himself to us. He doesn't want to be hidden or to be secret, but He wants to unveil or reveal Himself to us. And we talked about the scripture in Psalms that says, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures evermore, right? So we know that there is something significant with relation to the presence and being in the presence of God. When God begins to reveal Himself and manifest Himself and make Himself known unto us. Amen? Israel Houghton says, your presence is heaven to me. How many of you enjoy the manifest presence of God? Let me see your hands. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. How many of you would feel a little less connected if God didn't give us that? Yeah. Right? But there are people all over the world serving gods who they never experience like that. never experienced like that. He don't heal. It don't answer. It don't speak. Come on. But we serve a God who does answer. He does heal. He does speak. And this is because he is the only real God. He's the only real God. And oftentimes, when people do hear stuff speaking, it's a demon. It's not a God, it's a demon. Amen? And so, you know, the devil's been trying to play God since the very beginning. Amen? He's been trying to play, I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt my throne, you know, and all these things. So we understand that he's had it in for God's position, even down to trying to get Jesus to bow and worship him. Jesus, like the Word. You asked the word that was with God in John chapter 1 and the word that was God. You asked God to worship you? That's a lot. That's a lot. But God allows us to experience his presence so that we can know him in more real and more intimate ways. Amen? Amen. So I want to talk just a little bit about just entertaining, and I'm kind of already preaching, so just go with me here. I just want to talk a little bit about entertaining the presence of God. There are two scriptures I just want to look at just really briefly that I'm going to tie into this. First Thessalonians 5 and 19. And Ephesians 4. I'm going to focus on verse 30, but I'm going to start reading verse 26. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. If you have that, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, wait. First Thessalonians is going to be first. Then we're going to go to Ephesians. All right, if you have it, say, I have it.
I have it.
All right, if you don't have it, you'll just have to listen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, really short scripture, says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Some translations use the word stifle. Do not stifle, do not quench the Spirit, okay? Ephesians 4, we're going to look at verse 30 is where I'm going to lean in, but for contextual sake, we'll look at, so we'll start at verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. Oh boy, somebody need to adjust something right there. I mean, that ain't the message, but since we there. Come on. How many of you know that when you don't resolve anger, you give the devil an opportunity?
Amen.
An opportunity to what? Get in your business. You give the enemy a foothold. You know, sometimes we think that the Bible censures certain things just, you know, because that's the nice Christian way to be. You know, nice Christians don't get angry, right? But no, this is censured because unresolved anger is a doorway. I mean, it can turn into bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred and, come on, all kinds of stuff. And I would say this is something you practice whether you're married or not. Hello.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, don't go to bed mad.
Don't go to bed.
Don't go to bed angry. Don't let anger cook and stew and bubble. And then you sleep on it. And then you wake up and you remember five more things.
<So bad. laughs>
creating opportunity for the devil. Amen. Verse 28, the thief must no longer steal. Come on, stick your fingers up in here. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. Mm. Verse 29, no foul language is to come from your mouth. Ouch. Ain't none of this the message, trust me, but I can't just like graze past this for those of us that have cussing spirits, amen, or dirty joke mouths. Come on, still gonna just look at your neighbor, just go in and clean it up. Just don't even waste a few moments being condemned about it. Just go on and clean it up. Go on and clean it up. If you stop planting cussing seeds in your field, because all you watch and listen to is stuff that they dropping, that all of the signature, all the signature foul language, amen? Amen. How many of you know that stuff gets in your spirit? Yes. Next thing you know, something creeps up out your, ooh. I almost let one go. But only what is good for building up someone in need. Hmm. So, in other words, the scripture's saying that's the only thing that should be coming out of your mouth. Stuff that edifies, that's the word for build up. Edifies, builds up someone in need. So that it gives grace to those who hear. Hmm. All right, now, verse 30. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. Don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Mm. One of the most challenging things as a pastor to teach people is how to respond to the Spirit of God. How to respond when the Spirit of God comes in the room, what is our posture? Amen? That's one of the most difficult things to teach people, because sometimes our responses are different and as individual as what the Spirit of God is ministering to, right? When he comes in the room, right? So he might be dealing with me about unforgiveness. He might be dealing with you about obeying him in some area, right? He might be telling somebody else, there's something I want you to do, right? That requires maybe some faith that person doesn't have. I mean, so when you come into a room like this, when the Spirit of God begins to come into the room and manifest himself in the room, you're dealing with the spectrum of things that could be happening. One of the greatest lessons that you could learn, however, is to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Not to be hard towards him. Mm. Do you know the concept here of quenching and grieving deals with a hardness towards the Spirit of God? When you quench the Spirit, you have to resist him. To grieve, when you grieve the Spirit, you have to harden yourself towards him through your actions and your attitudes. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have to harden yourself. So it grieves the Spirit of God, right? When we move in ways that are counter spirit. Meaning counter or opposite the character or the fruit of the Spirit. it grieves the Spirit of God. And oftentimes, if you're really a believer, you have to be intentional about grieving him. Because most of us, y'all don't hear me, most of us know or hear the Spirit of God when we're about to do something or say something that we shouldn't. Now, you might silence it. You might dismiss it. But the Spirit of God is always speaking. How else can he lead you and guide you if he don't ever say nothing? And so oftentimes we grieve the Spirit because we are, our hearts become hardened towards his will. It grieves him. It grieves him. In the vein of entertaining the presence of God, the principles, these principles are the same. They're the same as in your everyday life. That when God wants to do something corporately, you now have a decision to make. Right? So you can either be sensitive to that and go with that and obey him in that or respond to him the way he desires to be responded to, or you can resist him. How many times have you come in this place and the Spirit of God was here and you knew he was here and you resisted him? Maybe he wanted worship, but you wouldn't worship. Maybe he wanted repentance, but you wouldn't repent. Maybe he wanted you to give a word to someone, but you wouldn't move. All of these things are stifling the Spirit of God. And they ultimately grieve. It ultimately grieves him when we move in any level of disobedience, any level of carnality grieves the Spirit of God. All right? Now, understand this, that when we are in a manifested moment, the atmosphere is very particular. It's very particular. It's very sensitive. The Holy Spirit is very sensitive. Okay, let me give you an example. How many of you have been aware of the presence of God beginning to manifest in a service, and then the worship leader moves in the wrong direction? And then all of a sudden, the manifested presence is now gone. Okay? How many of you have been in a service where it was the kind of manifestation called for a certain kind of reverence, and somebody starts screaming? And all of a sudden, that moment, that reverential moment, is now gone. Okay? Now, how many of you want God to manifest himself for as long as he want to hang around. Right? Now, one of the things I told you earlier in this series is that pursuing the presence or getting in the presence of God takes time. Right? Takes time. Takes time. Why? Not because it takes God long, but sometimes it takes us time. Time to get our minds here. Time to get our thoughts together. Time to be present in the circumstance and situation. Sometimes we come to church and we're not present. We're here, but we're not here. We're worried about bills. Something's going on at home. There's an issue that's waiting for us, and you are just not here. And so sometimes it takes time. We have to learn how to wait in the presence of the Lord. Just to be still, as the old song says, and know that he is God. Sometimes you just got to be still, right? So it takes time. But what happens is that we don't always, we're not always sensitive to the time it takes. We're not always sensitive. And then oftentimes when God begins to manifest, we move too quickly to something else. Okay, we're talking about entertaining the presence of the Lord, right? So we have to learn how to give God what God wants. How many of you know you cannot give God what you want to give him? That you have to give God what God wants. And we have the Spirit of God helps us to know what God wants in any given time. And when we don't know, he gives leadership, the wisdom and the understanding to tell us what should we all be doing right now, right here, in this moment. Because sometimes we're not all that sensitive. We're not all that sensitive. So we have to understand that there are postures that we take in entertaining the presence of the Lord. One of them is waiting. Another one is focus. Old folks used to sing, worship him, Christ the Lord. They would say, so forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. You can't worship God if your mind is everywhere. So when the presence of God begins to come in the room, the importance of focusing on him in that moment and not being distracted by things going on around you, not being distracted by what somebody to the left, to the right is doing or not doing. Come on. Sometimes you literally do have to close your eyes. Because how many of you know it don't take much to take you out? Particularly if something funny happens. Hello? Some of y'all, somebody fall out. You see a piece of panty. You out the spirit. Like, let me go grab a sheet. Yeah. Like, if we all in the Holy Ghost, ain't nobody looking at nobody's panty. Right. Yeah. If we all. And let me tell you something. Let me just be honest, because I'm talking to y'all. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to y'all. There are a lot of things that go on in this church that distract and disrupt the Spirit of God. Walking at the wrong time can break the atmosphere. Come on. I'm trying to teach you how to entertain the presence. I'm trying to teach you how to be sensitive so that you don't stifle, so that you don't quench him. You see what I'm saying? Oftentimes, because the lack of focus, that when the prophetic comes in the room, that's a manifestation. Did you know that? That's a manifestation. God actually wants to prophesy through many people. Oh, God, help me. He wants to prophesy through you and you and you and you. Paul talked about an instance where the spirit of prophecy hits the church and everyone begins to prophesy in unison concerning Christ, and sinners are convicted when they're in that midst. Because the spirit of prophecy can fall on a house. That's a manifestation. And oftentimes, we disrupt these moments and these manifestations of God because of our lack of sensitivity or our lack of focus or our impatience. Some things, when God is moving, manifesting, is not important. Okay? Now, I'm not telling you, you know, if somebody got a dress on, they fall out and they go up over there, I'm not telling you don't do anything. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we can't be so overly conscious of every little thing that we're not in tune with the Spirit. And even when things happen, the Holy Spirit can show you how to move where you don't disrupt what He's doing. Sometimes we take people out of the place God has them in because we're touching them. Even when ministry is going on around the altar and God is using an individual to minister, don't everybody run up and touch somebody if you weren't invited. You're trying to help, but you're not sensitive to what God is doing in that moment, and you can break a connection. You see what I'm saying? So we have to, as a church, learn how to be more sensitive so that we can have prolonged manifestations. Do you know the longer God is manifested in a place, the more supernatural things begin to happen? What are we missing? Because we disconnect too quickly. Do you know when we're having, when God is really showing out and I dismiss, do you know why I do that? Right. Generally, the people who get up and leave, we're not there. And there's something greater God wants to do that those distractions have to be removed. So get up and leave quickly and quietly in those moments. You ain't on it. You ain't about it. You don't want no more. Don't disrupt what God is doing for other people. Some of the greatest manifestations we've had after church. Do you know if you're sensitive to the Spirit, He will say, sit and don't leave. How many of you have experienced that here? Service is over and the Holy Spirit says, don't move. Well, when He is God and we are not, I know you got things to go do and things you want, but what's more important? What's more important? God can do more in a few moments than you can do hours trying to do what it is you're trying to do. Hallelujah. See, this is next level worship. This is the next level. God is like, I want to inhabit the praises of my people. I want to be enthroned in your midst. Not just in your spirit, in your midst. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Listen, those out there in the church world that don't want this, that amen, you can keep whatever little dry, whatever you got going on. You keep that. But I want the presence of God. I don't just want to know he's in my spirit. I don't just want to know he's in the book. I want to know he's in my midst. I want to know that he is the kind of God that can and will manifest himself right in the middle of. I want to know that I can invoke the presence of God when all hell is breaking loose in my home. I don't just want him in my spirit. Sometimes I need him to come in the room. I need him to come in and change the atmosphere of my house. Ah, God. God. You got to know what we're learning here is not just for corporate, but what we're learning here is we're learning how to entertain the presence of God when you leave. When you can't call your prayer partner, when you can't call the pastor, you know that I know a place I can get into. I know a posture that I can get into where the very manifested presence of God will come in my room, come in my house and change things. Come in the hospital room, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, and cause healing to manifest. There's a dimension of worship that God will do things and you didn't even pray. See, we want to go in the hospital and pray. Oh, just lay hands on the sick. That's biblical. We should pray. We should lay hands on the sick. But do you know that you can walk in an atmosphere and bring that the presence of God into the atmosphere with worship? And so we must learn how not to quench and grieve the Spirit. How not to stifle him, how not to harden ourselves to his promptings and his movings and his doings. What would happen if we all came into corporate worship and we were all open to what God wants to do? We were all open for God to manifest himself in the ways he wants to do it in that particular time and setting. What would happen if you didn't come with an attitude? Come on, look at somebody and say, you messing up what God's trying to do for me. You're messing it up for everybody. Your bad day is affecting the presence of God from being able to do what he wants to do in this moment. So sometimes you got to learn how to shake it off. Shake it off. Shake. And you know what's beautiful? Is you can shake it off in his presence. But sometimes we're so hard and we think we're resisting the worship leader. I don't care. He keeps saying, lift your hands. I don't feel like lifting my hands. I'm tired. He don't know what kind of day. If he say, lift your hands one more time. Or here's the beautiful one. That's not my personality. You affect what you can experience, but you also affect what others can experience. I talked about the day of Pentecost a couple weeks ago because not for the purposes of to talk about, you know, tongues and all that kind of stuff, but for the purposes of showing what happens when people get on one accord corporately. The powerful things that can be released. I talked about how it was in Acts chapter 2 that when you read the Bible, you got to read the Bible. You got to read it. You got to realize that things that are put in there for a purpose. Again, it just could have said on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. No, it went into all of this detail. Oh, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. Check. on one accord. Check. And suddenly, check. You see what I'm saying? Those pieces were critical to what came. And I'm convinced that if there had been discord, if there had been disunity anywhere in the room, that manifestation would have eventually happened, but it might not have happened on the day of Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost isn't Pentecost because of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost was a feast that was already in play. That was a feast that the Jews already recognized. Penta 5. You see what I'm saying? Entertaining the presence of God is what we must learn how to do. We must learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and then we must learn to respond appropriately to what God wants in that moment. We must learn how to respond appropriately to what God wants in that moment. And when you don't know, you pay attention to leadership that God has directing the service. But there is a place. There is a place where no one has to direct the service. Come on. Come on. How do you mean, you know, I want to get in it too. And sometimes God wants to send the kind of glory, like in Chronicles, he wants to send the kind of glory that even the pastors cannot stand in it. God directed movement. God directed worship. When the glory comes in the room, God wants us to be able to worship too. And not simply have to maintain our posts as ministers in the house of the Lord. That's where God is trying to take us corporately. He's trying to take us into dimensions of glory that supersede what we've seen in modern day church. Understand, God never wanted to have a mouthpiece. God never wanted that. God never wanted that. Do you know how relieved Moses was when the people said, we want to hear from God ourselves? And where God said, I want to talk to them myself. And Moses is like, great, this is what I wanted. I just came to bring them and get them to you. They're your people. When God began to speak, the wind began to blow, and the ground began to shake. And they was like, no, whoa, Moses, you go talk to God. We'll hear from you. But God never wanted there to be a mediator. I'm not talking about teaching and preaching. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God. I'm talking about God speaking directly from his spirit to your spirit, to your heart, to your mind, to your circumstance, to your situation. He wants to come in the room and manifest himself in such ways that we walk out of the room and everybody heard what they were supposed to hear, but nobody stood up here and said it. You talking about next level? That's next level. See, when God was ready for this level, he told Moses, have the people consecrate themselves. I'm telling you, God is setting us up in this house. And those of us that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and how he is calling us to a sanctified and a consecrated lifestyle, he's setting us up for divine encounters that many of us have never experienced ever. My God. Never experienced ever. Because there was too much flesh and too much us. Too much sin and too much mess. And God is trying to clear the clutter. Because he wants to make an appointment with us. Whew. My God. He wants to make an appointment with each and every one of us. He wants to come and be. See, he wants to be enthroned because he wants to flex his godness in our midst.
My God.
My God. You know, I feel like I'm a decent preacher. I feel like Prophet Kendall's a decent preacher, but nobody can flex God like God can. Nobody can step into a situation and rule like him. So he wants us to be more aware, more sensitive. He wants us to know him when he comes in thunder and lightning, when he comes in wind and power, and he wants us to know him. I want you to be so sensitive to me that a noise can come and you'd be like, that's not him.
My God.
It's not him. That's not him. That's not him. They're screaming, but that's not him. That's not him. That's not. They fell out, but that's not him. That's not him. That's not him. They're crying, but that's not him. That's not him. That's not him. See, because he comes in different ways. He manifests in different ways. And he wants us to be sensitive to the multifacetedness of his glory. The manifold glory of God. My God. See, this whole series has simply been about wooing you to a different level, creating a different taste in your mouth, a different kind of hunger, a different kind of, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, to create in you. See, some of us haven't known what we don't know, and we haven't searched for what we don't know is available for us. And so God just wanted me to lay out some menu items that some of you have not eaten of. He's tweaking your palate. He's tweaking your appetite. Hallelujah. He's causing you hungers that you didn't know were in you to be stirred for him. And we'll stop singing about more. And we'll start experiencing more. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm done, really. Hallelujah. Pokosa. Ooh. Ooh. He's already here now.
Yes, he is.
Yes, Lord. Come on, just open your heart. Open your heart to him even now. Hallelujah.
Sense him around you. I get it at the bustle. Namasa yekaba. Shilamon sota. Hoshekeleba.